There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Eye on Health. I'm Siobhan Layden, sitting in for Sally Moosa today. We've got a fabulous show lined up for you, both about mental and physical health for both men and women. Well, it's ladies first, actually, and I've got a fantastic lineup of guests joining me here in the studio. I'd like to welcome once again Suzanne Skelding, who's the Director of Sports at Are You Active? And she also established the official UAE Netball Association, UAE Netball Association. Let's get that right. Welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you. Nice
good
to be here.
Good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Going around the table, it's also a pleasure to be joined by Dr. Omar Shams, who's a chair of the UAE Netball Association Advisory Board. Welcome to you, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And not only netball as we're talking about today, we're also going to be talking about rugby. And I'd like to welcome Apollo Perellini, who's the founder and director of coaching at the Apollo Perellini Rugby Skills Academy. He's also a former international rugby union and rugby league professional. Apollo, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You must be gearing up for this weekend, or in fact the whole week of the Rugby Sevens, are you? it's a busy week, isn't it, for everybody?
The busiest week of my year, but it's also the most exciting week of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have some ladies down there?
We have we're currently hosting the UAE Rugby Federation and hosting the Asia Under 17s Olympic qualifiers here with 12 teams visiting from all over Asia.
Fantastic.
And we're hosting it down at Sports City this beginning tomorrow through to Thursday. So it's the first time they've held a competition of this magnitude for four girls rugby across Asia, and it's the youngest age group we've ever introduced into international competition. So looking forward to it. And on top of that, you got Dubai Sevens, which is totally different kettle fish.
I know, it takes over the whole of Dubai and beyond, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Well, we'll get into a lot more detail about that a little bit later on, Apollo, but I'd like to actually start with Suzanne and say congratulations. We mentioned very briefly about the UAE Netball Association, and that's quite recent news, isn't it? Perhaps you could talk us through a little bit more about what all that means and how it came about.
Thank you. Yes, it is really exciting. It's been 3 years in the making, so you can imagine the excitement and enthusiasm of everybody that's been involved over these past 3 years. I've been involved in netball for a number of years and really saw that there needed to be an association to govern the sport here and to bring it up to the next level and to offer opportunities to all the players here. It is primarily at this moment in time a sport played by expatriate girls in the UAE. However, part of the remit of the United Arab Emirates Netball Association is to create an amortisation programme. I've worked in netball as Apollo's worked in rugby, although I don't have his international status, but we've worked in a very similar way, and what he's created for rugby and got opportunities for girls to play rugby, Emirati girls to play rugby, and involving things within the school system is where we're heading with our netball. So right now we have an association. It is chaired by Dr. Shams, who's with us here today. And the advisory board that he is chairman of is a group of very enthusiastic and committed individuals who have things to do with netball throughout the UAE. And so what our first remit really was to bring things together, because although we're called the United Arab Emirates, we were really quite ununited. And whatever happened in Abu Dhabi happened in Abu Dhabi, and whatever happened in Dubai happened in Dubai. So it's been really important to bring all of that together to make sure that we could provide an association that could govern the sport, but also bring all the enthusiastic people together and all the competitions together. So it's been a very, very exciting, interesting 3 years, and we have government or authority to put this association together under the umbrella of the Basketball Association. In the UAE, what happens with a new sport is that to ensure that it is capable of sitting on its own and running the sport and governing the sport, it sits underneath another sport for an inaugural 12 to 18 months, so that we can make sure that we do things properly and we can learn from them as well, etc. So it's been a great year. We're very excited that it's finally launching. Yes.
And so what's going to be happening next year, I believe, in March and May?
In March and May, yeah, we have a lot going on. So in September, once we had the association signed off, we had trials for under 17. So as Apollo's talking about, the rugby under 17 competition that is happening here, organised by by Rugby Asia, the Asian Federation, we will be under the banner of the Netball Europe. So Netball Europe is 11 countries, of which the UAE is now part of. It's very exciting because it's the first Arab country to have a representative team going forward into an international competition. So being under the Netball Europe banner, we have an under-17 squad representing the UAE in Dublin in March. Amazing. And then we will be going with an open squad that will be going to Gibraltar in May. So those teams are currently training and trialling, and the coaches are all in place. We have a head coach, Deb Jones, who is an international player herself, as well as Liv Mason, who is an international player herself, leading up the coaching squads with assistants that are working with them. So it's a really exciting, it's very busy, and a very, very exciting year.
Absolutely, a lot of hard work that has gone into it. Good afternoon, welcome back. We're finding out about women in sports in the UAE, in particular in netball, and a little bit later on we're going to be talking about rugby. We've just been talking with Suzanne Skelding about the UAE Netball Association. I'd like to bring in now also Dr. Omar Shams, who's with us. He's the chair of the UAE Netball Advisory Board and has really been with the board and the UAE Netball Association from the very, very beginning, haven't you? And very passionate about what's happened and I think proud of really of what you've achieved. Perhaps you could sort of take me back to those early days as to, you know, when and why you decided to take part and get involved in it and champion the cause.
Yes, it all started when I had a request to talk to Suzanne Skelding, who I'd never met before. And the meeting was a very interesting one because she explained things to me that I didn't understand. And that is that netball needed to go to the next level from where it used to be. I didn't even know that there was a problem at the time. But it turns out, yes, we were, as the seven United Arab Emirates, playing separately in all the seven Emirates, and there was nothing connecting us all together. There was also a missed opportunity of our young ladies who participate in the sport not being able to have the opportunity to represent the UAE internationally. So we looked into how we can fix this, and as a consequence, we ended up forming the UAE Netball Association. It took a long time for this to happen. There's a lot of background work that made it happen. And the one thing that did make it happen was having an enthusiastic team that were all focused on the same thing, that connected more than just the people in Dubai. We had Abu Dhabi contribute quite a lot to our formation. We're ever so grateful to them. And of course, we're trying to pull in from Sharjah and all the other Emirates as best we can so that we can truly represent the United Arab Emirates when it comes to the sport of netball. The most important thing for us was to see if we can get the Emirati girls involved in netball. This is something that is high on our agenda, and this is something which we're working on pretty much on a daily basis. But for us to become anything, we needed to be recognized by the world governing body for netball. And as Suzanne mentioned earlier, we are very proud to be the first Arab country to be full members of the International Netball Federation. And that allows us to be able to represent the UAE at any netball event internationally. This is a brilliant opportunity for young girls and, of course, the ladies in the Open, who would never have had the opportunity to gain international caps. And that now allows them to be able to go to the next level, which is very inspiring for many people and many families. And it opens up more than just the Emirati population, so that the non-Emiratis can also represent the UAE if they meet certain criteria of residency.
So it's not just Emiratis, it's also open to non-Emiratis.
That's right, yeah.
And that has been a tremendous aspect of the formation of the UAE Netball Association, right, where we're pretty much opening up opportunities for as many people as possible. And with our existence as a governing body, we can connect all the little islands of netball activity that are happening in the UAE under one banner. Mm.
So how proactive have you been, or are you in fact, in sort of gathering speaking to all the various different schools around the UAE, and what sort of a response have you received from the schools and the girls and the teachers there for this?
I'll share this one with Suzanne, because yeah. we've both been involved in this. We have been trying to get a lot of things sorted as an association, and one of them is the Emiratization drive. And that's been a very high item on our agenda. But for that to happen, lots of steps needed to have been covered first. And that is that we become an association in the first place, that we've managed to do, that we become part of the International Netball Federation, which now we have, to get a board that can function as a team that can bring all the Emirates together, which we have got, to get into the community and speak to people who are connected with netball one way or another, whether they are coaches or they are PE teachers or they are heads of clubs, of associations, get all of them together so that we can tell them who we are, what we do, and how we can best serve them and the community. Mm-hmm. So I'll pass on to Suzanne, who can give you some more details about how this is panning out. But we're getting there, and we've had tremendous support from the netball community. I've been so impressed by how cohesive that whole group has been, and all they've done is work with us and support us to get to our end goal.
It's really lovely. You're right, Omar, to see everybody coming together. And the main thing is that the girls have this opportunity, but not only are they able to play, but they can also be part of the Emiratization programme. So yeah. we will be using them as ambassadors of our sport. We've been very lucky to have people working in the background to get our cause out there, because like everything, I'm sure Apollo will agree that like everything, you need money to make these things work. And whilst we have an incredible support network of volunteers making this happen and communicating through all of the usual channels that you would, through social media and pure enthusiasm, I think, of getting people together and involved yeah. in this, it does take, it is going to take some money to get people to be able to represent the UAE in netball. They need to be able to have kit, they need to travel, they need to be accommodated. We are delighted to be able to announce actually that we have a kit sponsor, a training kit sponsor, as well as a playing kit sponsor and travel kit with Acuma, who's a very well-known kit provider. They work across a multitude of sports. They're very excited to have a national squad to add to their group of people that they support in their kit, and are delighted to be able to take on the UAE, which is fantastic. So we have a kit, the designs are starting to come through, and we're really excited about that. Yeah. And it's just really lovely to have somebody out there who's a big player in the world of sport to say, yeah, we like what you're doing and we want to get involved.
Are there any sort of numbers you can share with us about how many ladies, girls are involved?
I think we've probably got about 1,500 ladies and girls playing netball from the age of 6 up on a weekly basis in yeah. the UAE. So that covers primarily Dubai and Abu Dhabi. They are your biggest sort of like playing areas, but it is also in all of the other Emirates, but it's just in a much smaller way. So there's an annual competition called the Intergolf competition that was set up some 30 odd years ago that will be playing in Fujairah, for example. So there's a pocket of netball going on in Fujairah. And we are very united. It is women in sport. And when you've got women in sport and somebody's stepping up and listening to what you do and are interested in supporting your sport, people get together and are very excited. So there's been a real community feel of gathering all the information together, getting people together who want to be involved and yeah. helping us, because we need help to make this happen. It's a very big dream that we have, and part of it has come true, but there's a whole lot more to come true yet. And yeah. you know, we need people to be involved in that.
I think from the top down and the bottom up, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
That's it. Requires money, but it also requires people, it requires passion, it requires everyone to get involved.
I think yeah, and sponsorship for women in sport it's pretty hard to come by, yeah. I'm not going to lie. But it is interesting that there are massive advantages.
Yeah, I think what we can do, we can actually pick up on that point when we come back. Okay. But it is really, it's really quite interesting, just having done some research on it, that there's some really quite shocking facts that apparently women's sport accounts for a pitiful 0.4% of the commercial investment going to all sports, and only 7% of total sports coverage in the media. So you're up against it, you know, so it just in that very fact, it's a fantastic achievement. We're going to take a short break. We have the news headlines coming up. Again, do join us. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Do you play netball? If not, why not? And are you interested in playing sports?
Good question.
Or rugby? We'll get to the
I've
rugby.
I've played netball.
Yes, have you played netball?
Of course.
Okay, we'll tell you hear about that when we get back as well. Back to the show today. I'm Siobhan Layden, and it's all about women in sport. We've been hearing about women playing netball in the UAE and the establishment of the UAE Netball Association. I'm joined by Suzanne Skelding, who's the director of sports at RU Active, and also Dr. Omar Shams, who's the chair of the UAE Netball Association Advisory Board. Welcome to you both once again.
Thanks.
I'd also like to now bring in Apollo Perellini, who, as I understand it, has also been playing netball at some point. I'd like to hear about that story. But he's more a rugby man, of course. He's the founder and director of coaching at the Apollo Perellini Rugby Skills Academy. He's also former international rugby union and rugby league professional. Welcome to you, Apollo. But I think there's lots of common elements, I think, between what you do and what Suzanne and Dr. Omar have been doing, which is all about emiratization and basically getting people to get active and get into sport. Perhaps you can tell me a little bit about that and what you've been doing there.
I think the key thing for us, which is similar to what netball is trying to do, is getting locals, the indigenous people of the indigenous girls of UAE, into any sport, but more importantly, our sports, you know, netball and rugby. Working with the UAE Rugby Federation, we have a program called Get Into Rugby, which we work with alongside with the Ministry of Education, where we go in on behalf of UAE Rugby Federation. We go in there and introduce rugby to boys and girls. Mm. Just this year alone, from January to now, we've put over 4,000 girls in local schools through the tri phase. And the tri phase of rugby is where they actually get to do rugby type activities,
yeah,
you know, with the rugby ball and running and tag rugby. We also run festivals across the all the Emirates, Northern Emirates down to Al Ain, Abu Dhabi and Dubai. We run festivals for the various cycles, which is your different year groups from year one all the way up to year 13. So and making sure that girls not just introduced to rugby, but also to staying fit, but
yeah,
keep an interest in health and fitness.
What's the sort of biggest challenge for you as to getting girls involved? You know, there is obviously a stigma, or there's perhaps a gap between, you know, girls playing rugby and boys playing rugby. I don't actually know if it's in the curriculum within schools for girls to play rugby. I don't think
yeah,
it is.
we're getting the curriculum is just getting approved now. With the rugby being introduced into all the local schools, we don't have to worry about the international schools. They already have established rugby programs in there. But with local schools, we're active with the education board to make sure that rugby is in schools and it's taught in schools. The stigma around rugby with girls, it's amazing. Girls actually love the game, you know. It's only when they get a little bit older they think, I'm sweating. maybe that's not quite the game for me. But we get a lot of girls interested. I coach a UAE under-17s, under-18 team. They're very, very enthusiastic. They turn up. They're really loving the sport. What are the challenges? Some of the challenges are probably the upbringing, parental consent. It's not their fault, because I've grown up with the same parental consent problems growing up in a Samoan family, because in New Zealand, my parents, who never grew up with PE and sports in their schools upbringing, never sort of rated what sports did for you.
Yeah.
So they were always more about us getting an education and going to work. Whereas, and it's pretty similar to the current and probably Emirati's parent thinking, well, this has no interest to us, you know.
Yeah.
What's great about...
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe we can bring in Dr. Omar Shams. He's got his arm up there.
I agree with you, Apollo, absolutely. Mm. One of the most important things that we need to do is to bring awareness to not just the players, but also the families, to get them to understand the benefits that sport brings to not just their children, but the community in general. To get children involved in any sport is in itself a plus.
Yeah.
You know, my children, they have all been participating.
Absolutely.
As many sports as I can get them involved in. And my daughters have been playing rugby and netball. And to get them out of the environment of sitting down in front of a telephone, looking at a screen and punching digits is something that all of us need to do. We need to get our kids out there playing sport, getting enthusiastic about the sport that they do, and then let the sport win them over.
Yeah.
Because inevitably, you've seen it, Apollo, you get these children hooked on doing the sport that they particularly enjoy, and then they are completely committed to that sport, and then you start to see the standards go up.
Absolutely. And I've seen that with I'll tell you a story. When we went to the airport to travel to Paris this year in July, and local and the mums and dads brought the girls to the airport, and one of the dads actually came up to me and gave me a hug, and he said, "This weekend I give you permission to be the father to my daughter." And I went, "Thank you." And he says, "I didn't support this, but now I see her representing UAE," which wasn't something as big, but just seeing her, how happy she was, he was really proud. And I said, I fully understand. You know, my dad hardly watched any of my rugby growing up. He only followed me when he realized, oh, you are pretty good, not too bad. But it wasn't until in my sort of early 20s that he really sort of paid much interest.
What was the hook for you, though? What kept you going back?
Oh, going back to rugby?
Rugby.
I just like going. It was a sport I loved, and I growing up in New Zealand.
But there's a thrill, I suppose, isn't it? Isn't there?
It is a thrill, and you're with your mates, you're having fun, and then all of a sudden you become very competitive, and you enjoy just that camaraderie, but also the lessons you learn, you know, the discipline you learn and everything. You get a lot of life's lessons playing sports, and I think that's important for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are.
And these life lessons you then take with you when you're a parent, and you then bring up your children. You take it to the workplace, you take it to the home. Sport contributes tremendously to people's well-being and to the environment that we're in. And this is something that everybody needs to be pushing, whether it's through schools or through charities or even just us here
parents
talking
and,
about it.
It's a very good point. And it's something we mentioned. We were talking actually off air about how role models, especially if we're talking about women in sport, who are your female role models in sport? And, you know, it shouldn't really have to look too far away from the family home.
Yes.
You know, what about your mum?
Yes,
you know, what about
absolutely.
Your aunt, your sister, your granny even, you know? It's exactly that, I think, Dr. Omar, is that, you know, if we as women show that we're interested in sports, then I think you've got a much better opportunity for your children to also follow.
I think the next generation is interesting. I'm excited about the next generation of Emirati kids coming through, because these girls who I'm currently training at the moment and coaching, they're excited about their kids in the future, saying,
amazing.
I'm going to support my kids. And that's that's the exciting thing. Yeah. It's the next generation.
That's great to hear, isn't it? Because we have so many of these girls that we really want to get through in whatever.
Good afternoon. Some great conversations going on in the studio, all about getting women into sport, not just women, but girls, and creating the next generation of healthy, fit and active women. We've had some wonderful text messages as well. Christina actually asked a question saying, why are we still promoting single gender sports? If there's no boys netball, there shouldn't be girls netball. I think that might be for you, Suzanne.
That's a great one. There are so many male-dominated sports. I think it's quite refreshing, actually, to have a female-dominated sport. That's not to say that men don't play netball. There are men playing netball all over the world, and there are leagues for netball. And as Apollo attested, he also has played.
In New Zealand, they are.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like we kind of, well, I wasn't laughing, but we sort of were like, oh, Apollo's playing netball. But, you know, it shouldn't be. It should be a game. It should be a genderless sport. Women can play rugby. Why not? Women can play football. Men can play netball. You know, there are, and they do exist, and I rightly recognise them, that those gender gaps and biases actually do exist. And I think it's interesting that, you know, obviously you're trying to break them down.
Indeed. And breaking that barrier is so important. Yeah. And we saw this in rugby in recent history. Rugby has been a male-dominated sport for I don't know how long, ever since.
Absolutely.
In the last 20 years, we have seen women get into rugby to the point that they are becoming more watchable as a sport than men because of their agility. People are seeing women's rugby as being on par with men's rugby. There isn't a gender block in any of these sports, because at the end of the day, we all welcome participation in the sports. I remember when I was at university, I also participated in a few netball games myself.
Yeah.
I was rubbish at it, but I certainly gave it a go. So netball, although it's a mainly women-oriented sport, it isn't strictly women only. Mm-hmm. No, we welcome men, and we are going to eventually have a men's team. And why not?
Why not? Exactly.
But that's our focus right now is the amortization program for girls in sport, and it's all about girls' health and changing the view of things at this moment in time. So I kind of like the. I just like the way that, you know, netball is quite female at this moment in time. So it's quite a unique thing to be able to go into, certainly the Emirati schools as girls, and just go in as a largely female sport at the moment. But you're absolutely right, Dr. Shams, that we, you know, that's the whole point, isn't it? It is sport for everybody. We're not excluding anybody, but we have a focus, and our focus is on girls in sport.
I mean, particularly given certain statistics that have come out time and time again in the UAE, that only apparently 1 in 5 children are active for more than an hour a day. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it?
That's scary.
Yeah.
And it's worrying as well. And we are well aware as parents that there are a lot of children who will either sit there in front of a device and punch away at keys with the glare of the screen keeping them going for endless hours. And the alternative to that is to get involved in some physical activity that's going to yield so many benefits and a healthier lifestyle for everybody.
Yeah.
So we are encouraging as many families as we can through education, through the schools, and through channels like this, the media, to get people involved in sport. And the best way to do it is to get the kids.
Yeah.
Get the kids involved and let them eventually enjoy the sport such that they then become the champions.
I think it was interesting as well, maybe just going back to, we sort of keep, you know, we talked about it having to be a bottom-up but top-down as well approach to, you know, getting the association established, which means then you get more coverage, which means then you're going to get sponsorship, hopefully. And also talking about how fortunate we are living in Dubai, which is almost like it's the centre of the world, and a fabulous opportunity to then have championships here, which then gets more media coverage. But it's incredible. There's some statistics that I mentioned earlier about 0.6% of all media coverage for, you know, it's an uphill battle.
It's quite scary, isn't it, when you actually look at the figures. I have to admit. It is, and it's just one of those things that we've got to break down, and we have to persist with this. And you've got to find a sponsor for whom this makes sense. I think when you're looking at females in sport, it has to make sense. It has to make sense to them. It has to be somebody that wants to be involved. And I think from our perspective, we're looking for sponsors. Of course, we're never going to say no to the great big sponsor that comes with a very, very large big fat check. But what we're really looking for is a community to grow and develop with us.
Yeah.
So we want people to participate in that community. So women in sport are incredibly loyal. So if somebody is going to be supporting them financially or by way of kit, so Acuma being our kit sponsor, people will be incredibly loyal to that. So our netballers, we know, will go down that route because somebody has gone out there, because I guess it's so unusual that we don't have many people sponsoring our sport. So whoever they get, they're really going to get a lot of commitment from
Fantastic
the players.
Fantastic news on that. I really want to just go to some of these messages that have just come through. There's a beautiful one that's come through from Julie, who says, when we moved from England to Kuwait with two of my three daughters, 13 and 16, our relationship hit an all-time low. Netball built that relationship and we all played on the same team.
That's amazing.
Also, all the research shows that get girls involved in sports and they are more likely to have a much healthier relationship with their body. So less eating disorders and, so brilliant. Totally.
That's very
here,
true.
Here, Julie. Yeah, that's fantastic because that sums it up, doesn't it?
Mm.
Sport is a way of connecting and this is something which isn't recognized by a lot of people. They stumble across it, and those who do stumble across it then realize the strength and the power that sport can bring to families. There's a powerful message
really,
there. Thank you, Julie.
Absolutely, great words. The hour is up. We could carry on for a lot longer. Yay. I know we could. It's been fantastic. Some really wonderful points raised there, and congratulations once again to setting up this association, and I wish you all the very, very best. I hope you'll come back and tell us more about it
Thank
later
you.
On.
Thanks big, for having us.
Big thanks to Suzanne Skelding, Director of Sports at RU Active, www.ru-active.com if you want to find out more. And also, of course, a big thank you to Apollo Perellini, and all the best for the weekend. I mean, really.
Thank you.
And if you want to get more information about Apollo and the Perellini Rugby Skills Academy, www.aprsa.com. And thanks also to Dr. Omar Shams, the chair of the UAE Netball Association Advisory Board. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.